Hi there. We're so glad you found the Fabric Podcast. Before you start listening, we wanted to let you know that this is one of our earlier episodes where our show was called The Check-In. On these episodes, we talk about the company, giving you insight into who we are and what we do. But in 2019, we realized we really want to focus more on company culture. So we refocused and renamed the podcast. So just a heads up that this earlier episode is still us, the team from The Receptionist, but just with a different show name and a slightly different focus. Thanks for listening. On this episode of The Check-In, we're joined once again by President and CEO Andy Alsop. He and I talk about how The Receptionist came to be based in Denver when it actually started in Boulder when he acquired it. Since that time, the team has grown and everyone is based close to Denver, but Andy is actually spending half of his time in Santa Fe. So because of that, he doesn't require everyone to be in the office all the time. And when I say office, I actually mean their co-working space. So he allows his employees to work from where they want, when they want. But when he's in the office, they're typically in the office too, having their meetings, doing their check-ins, and enjoying each other's company. It's important to The Receptionist to maintain their culture, their values, and their communication, even with a semi-remote team. And they've got their first employee who's now relocated to California, so they're giving it a try with a remote employee, and they've put some really great pieces into place and are making some really important considerations so that this remote employee does stay connected, and when he comes back to Denver, things are taken care of and everything can run smoothly. So stick around for this episode of The Check-In as we learn more about how The Receptionist handles working remotely. We are back on The Check-In, and I am so excited to be back with Andy Alsop. How are you doing today?
Doing great.
Good. So I'm excited to talk more about kind of the working conditions at The Receptionist, because I think there's so much conversation about working remotely, working on site. So it'll be a great time to look into what you all actually do. Now, when you took over the company, it was based in Boulder and now it's based in Denver. So talk to us a little bit about how that decision came about and a little bit of the backstory when you got involved with The Receptionist.
Yeah. So when I initially became involved with The Receptionist was when I was already spending a lot of time. I had in previous episodes, we talked about the fact that I live in Santa Fe, but I decided to move my entrepreneurial career and pursuits to Colorado. And one of the things that inspired me to come to Colorado is that my mother-in-law lives in Denver. And she was nice enough to let me live in her basement because I was trying to get something going here and I wasn't necessarily generating any income at the time. And I was doing a lot of networking, ended up networking all the way through to the point where I met Ted Guggenheim, the CEO of TextUS. And TextUS was a company that owned what was then the iPad Receptionist. And so through discussions, we talked about my acquiring the iPad Receptionist from TextUS. The iPad Receptionist was something they'd done a great job with, but wasn't necessarily something that they were focused on. They wanted to focus on TextUS, which was their own startup. So it was really a great situation to find myself in. I think it worked well for them as well. But the company was up in Boulder. And while I had friends up in Boulder, I really had decided, mostly because I was moving from New Mexico, that I wanted to be in a bigger city. And so I really wanted to be in Denver. And through my pursuits of my networking and everything else, I became acquainted with a place called Industry. And Industry is a co-working space. And it's on Brighton Boulevard, just north of downtown in Denver. And I decided that's where I wanted to take the business once I'd acquired it. And luckily, it was a very small startup. So we had one support person who was in Brooklyn, New York, and then we had one salesperson. And I asked the salesperson, would you be interested in moving down to Denver? And for him, that was the right time in his life. He was ready to leave Boulder and move to Denver. So really, it was the two of us. And so it was an easy move. It wasn't like I had to consider moving 50 people from, you know, another town. It was super easy. So that's why we ended up in Denver.
Wow. And for context, how far are Boulder and Denver from each other? How long of a move was this?
Well, it depends on whether there's a lot of traffic or not.
Right. Like everywhere.
But there, I believe it's 25, 30 miles apart. And it takes about 45 minutes to get to Boulder with no traffic.
And like you said, it was a small team at the time. It was the two of you. So that obviously makes it easier to transition even 30 miles away versus if you have an entire team.
Exactly. And we weren't talking about going to a whole nother state or something right. like that. So it was a pretty easy transition.
Right. So once you moved to Denver, you and your first team member were there, and then you started to grow the team. So when it came that time to hire more people, what was your thought process on creating an in-person team there in Denver versus hiring remotely and having people work from wherever they happen to be?
It was almost a decision, because I was splitting my time between Santa Fe and Denver, that I knew that I wasn't going to be in Denver all the time. So that meant two things. It meant, one, I didn't need everybody to be in the office as I was bringing on team members. But it also meant that I needed to hire team members who were going to be productive without having to have me be on the ground in Denver all the time. And so it really started, and it's interesting because the first person I hired after the salesperson was Jessica Marshall. And Jessica came to me, ironically, through Ted. He had actually referred her. But Jessica said, you know, I live in Longmont, and Longmont's about 40 miles away or 35 miles away. And she was trying to find a job that didn't require her to travel into Denver or into Boulder every day. And so that worked great for me. I wanted somebody who is really set up for success to be able to work out of their own office, but also was close enough that they could come to the office when I was in Denver. And so that's how we set up the relationship. And Jessica is now grown to be a member of my leadership team, and she is also one of the co-founders in the company as well. So I think it really speaks to the fact that if you want to have any sort of remote culture, you really have to hire people who you don't have to babysit, that are self-motivated. They're going to get their own work done. They're going to excel beyond what you were expecting them to do, and maybe even coming to you with other ways that the company can succeed. So it really does get down to the fact that you really need to hire well if you're going to have somewhat of a remote team.
Absolutely. And what I think is really interesting in this is that, you know, there's this culture of remote workers. And I think we get really good at what we do and we can work remotely and we can take care of business. But then you have to adapt when you go back into that workspace and you're working with other people. And so I imagine it could be hard to find people who can do both really well, work remotely, but then can also come into the office and be that member of the team. So what has that been like for you to find people who can do both of those parts well?
Well, it's funny because a lot of my interviews, when I start off, I immediately say I split my time between Denver and Santa Fe, which means I'm not there all the time. And I think it's you find out from the reactions, oh, that's interesting. And I talk about the culture in terms of, you know, if you want to, we have an office in Denver. We have it in another industry. We actually moved from one industry to the other. They're only about 12 blocks apart. But the opportunity to go into the office, to be around other people when they're in the office, we offer free food for our employees and flexible work schedules and things like that. It actually ends up being a benefit that people really gravitate to when I say that's part of our culture, because they get the feeling of, oh, it's not one of these jobs where I have to be there from, you know, 8:30 to 5 with a half hour lunch break and, you know, and I have no sort of control over where I'm going to be. I'd much rather hire people who are really self-motivated by being a part of the mission of the company and then having them decide where they can work best. So there's times even when I am in Denver, and we just have this cadence when I'm in Denver and it's every other week, I end up spending a lot of time with team members and I ask them to come in because we'll do team meetings or I'll have one-on-ones. But if they don't have any meetings that day with me or anybody else, they might not come into the office. And there's no requirement. I really haven't put together some sort of manual of when you need to be in the office and when you don't. When I do go to hire people, I say, I'm going to be in Denver every other week. So there is an expectation during those weeks that I'd like you to come in for team meetings. We have live stand-ups on every other Thursday. And we do all of these other sort of activities that may require you to come in. Every month, we do a company lunch. We all go out to lunch together. And we there's a requirement that everybody take their cell phone and put it in the middle of the table, turn it off, because we're not working. we're actually enjoying just getting to know each other and seeing how everybody is. Well, those happen when I'm there for obvious reasons. So there's really a lot of flexibility. And I think it's been something that's become a real benefit.
Absolutely. And being a remote worker myself, I love that you have the option to come in, not only when you're there, but to utilize the space, be around the people. The food sounds great too. But as a remote worker, you know, you can get so sort of lonely and just in your own process, and to have those other people there to bounce ideas off of, to collaborate with, it really sounds like you have the best of both worlds.
I think it is the best of both worlds. And we do collaborate. It also forces us to say, how do we work together when I'm not there? You know, how as a team? If there needs to be a meeting and everybody needs to be there, particularly if I need to be there, it's going to happen every other week. But there's a lot of times where, for instance, we're doing an interview to hire a candidate, and I've done my phone screen with them. We've done the leadership interview, and it's time to bring that candidate in. And it doesn't require me to be there because it's for the rest of the team to interview the rest of that candidate. So then they'll come together and they'll all come into the office when I'm not there. So there's really definitely value from being able to work remotely, where you might have to collaborate with somebody and you do something over the phone or you talk over Slack or something like that, to saying, okay, this is something we'd really like to spend time together because we're going to be using a whiteboard or whatever it is. And I'll just contrast it. I've never been in one of the other cultures where it is fully remote, where the whole team, there's no headquarters and everybody's working everywhere. Personally, I'm sure it works really well. But for me, I enjoy the fact that every other week we get together, we see each other's faces. And there's going to be, we're growing quickly. And we actually have one member of the team that actually has gone completely remote and moved out to California. But for the most part, and we're actually bringing him back regularly so that he can continue to stay integrated in the team. But I like that opportunity, whereas you have these fully remote companies and a lot of times they say, oh, we get together quarterly and we go somewhere for 2 weeks and we all work together. For me, that's not quite enough. I really enjoy getting together, being in person and really looking at people's eyes or looking at the reaction in their face when I say, what do you think of that idea? That's so important to the what we're able to do when we're all together.
Right. And I know how important it is to you to hire good people and the right people for all of the roles that you do need to fill. And what sounds great about that is that, you know, it allows you to have sort of a wider pool that you could pull people from, right? Because if you had to be in Denver every single day, then you might only get people who live close to Denver or who are willing to relocate to Denver. But with that flexibility that, you know, you could live a little bit farther away. You could live outside of Denver. You don't have to be here every day. That just seems like from a potential employee perspective, that's nice to have a little bit more room of where you could live, but still make it to work, still fulfill all your requirements and not have to commute every single day.
No, that's exactly right. In fact, I don't know that I mean, if I had told Jessica, you need to be in the office every single day and make that drive from Longmont, she might not have taken the position. And so we ended up with an extraordinary member of the team as a result, not entirely, but in some part because we have this type of culture of work where you want.
Absolutely. Now, you've already said this, that there's not an official policy. Do you think that you will have to have one or that you might have to put any of these sort of, I don't want to say casual guidelines, but any of these down sort of officially on paper?
It's possible. We run this company, as I've talked about many times before, on traction. And I think what happens with traction is that you outline what are your core values and what are the, you know, 10-year target and 3-year target, what's your marketing strategy. And one of the things it talks about is when to document processes and when to document things. And so I don't know what the answer to that question is, because when we grow, when we continue to grow and we're at 20 people, 50 people, 100 people, I'm not sure what that's going to look like. I want to continue the same hiring practices. And my anticipation is by continuing to do such a good job or trying to do a good job of communicating with new members of the team about what our core values are and making sure that we have good cultural match. I kind of hope that we wouldn't need to have that it would be understood and known that you know, when Andy's in town, we're going to be doing our company lunches. And we schedule our company lunches on a regular basis. Everybody has it on their calendar. I know that we're going to be doing a quarterly meeting, and I've got that quarterly meeting on my calendar. So everything is known in advance when you really need to be in the office. And for the most part, I like to have people in the office when they need to be, but I don't necessarily feel that I have to tell them that. And I feel like if I have to begin telling them that and putting together a policy, I feel like some other part of the equation might not be going the way it's supposed to.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point. And I think because of how your company started with you and one other person, and then how it's grown and how you've taken the time to hire the right people. And as we talked about previously, the people who weren't right don't stick around, and that you would rather take that time up front and take a while to get the right person in the role. You probably have a really good fit. And so some of those things don't need to have that official documentation that you might need to have if you had started with a bigger company and, you know, adopting existing employees and not having everyone on the same page and with those same values and vision.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's, I think because we adopted Traction so early in our existence when we were only about 5 or 6 people, I think that that has had an impact, because now you're not taking a tanker that's moving in one direction and then having to completely move it so it goes in another direction. We're actually starting at the point where we're kind of a little small boat, you know, and we can keep these ideals in the forefront and knowing what we want to be as we grow up and how we want to get there. And that goes also to the fact that we have a culture that allows you to work from home if you want, or if you want to come into the office, that's available to you as well.
So obviously this work from where you want and work from where you need to be is part of your culture. And I know how important company culture and values are to not just you, but everyone who works at the receptionist. So how do you maintain that? You've touched on this a little bit, but how do you maintain that when not everyone is there all the time?
Well, it's so far has worked out really well. It's an interesting, I think the interesting experiment is going to be, as I told you about, we had one person that moved out to California. So this is going to be the first time we have a fully remote employee. And his name's Ryan Wettig. And Ryan is an amazing member of the team. And we all had a discussion about, well, this would be, and it was for his family situation, he needed to move out to California. And there was a point at which the question came up, do we want to support Ryan in moving out to California? And I unequivocally had no hesitancy to respond, because he is such an amazing member of the team. Yeah, we're going to support him in doing this. But what he ends up being is a little bit of a guinea pig, because he is going to end up finding out what it's like to come back to headquarters, basically. The timing he needs to come back. He was actually already back. He moved out about 4 weeks ago. He came back week before last, and he's coming out back again because we have our company strategic meeting in the beginning of December. So he'll be coming back for that.
Yeah, we actually talked about that, he and I, on a recent episode. So yeah, we talked all about the holidays and how you guys wrapped those up. But he didn't tell me that he was flying back in for that.
Oh yeah, well he is, and we're trying to figure out just even stuff like, where does a remote employee stay when they've come to town, and finding a good place for them. And so we're exploring all of those things. But I think, you know, and it's natural, I think, in a company like ours, we're a SaaS, you know, software as a service company. It doesn't really mean that we have customers coming to our office. In fact, I don't even know if we've had one customer ever come to our office. So it's not really important for us to put up some sort of front or anything about, you know, who we are or what we are. It's more about, where can everybody get their work done and be the most effective as they can. And I know Ryan's going to do a great job. It's, you know, we're already communicating. We had something came up yesterday and we're on Slack together and things. It didn't matter whether he was in Denver or he's in Northern California.
Right. And again, I think it goes back to hiring the people who really have the same values and the same vision for the company and who are on board with that. And yeah, that it doesn't end up mattering where you are, because you still want to support the company and you still want to do your job well, and you still want to be connected with the people who you're sort of on this mission with to grow the company and do well for all of your customers.
Exactly. And that actually gets to a tenet in Traction, which is, right people, right seat. And the right people in a company are ones that share your core values. And so that's why Traction starts out with the first thing you need to decide is what are your core values, because you need to determine if you have right people. And the right seat means that they're capable of doing their job. They have the time to do it and they do it effectively. And so it really comes down to the first part, which is you want to hire the right people and you want to make it very clear what your core values are and what your expectations are as a result of those core values. And if you have that alignment, then it doesn't matter whether they're in another part of the world or if they're just in another part of Denver. They're going to be able to contribute to the team, and where they work is much less important than what they do.
Absolutely. And before we wrap up, for any companies who have a similar setup or even strictly remote workers, at least a semi-remote team, any final thoughts on how just to best maintain the communication and interaction and culture that you work so hard to cultivate with an on-site team? How can that be maintained when not everyone's there all the time?
I think it, for ours may be a unique situation, just driven by the fact that I go back every other week. But for the weeks I'm in Denver, for those people I am directly managing, I have one-on-ones with them. I am a big proponent of regular check-ins and one-on-ones, and I'm not a proponent of annual reviews where you go and fill out some forms about how you did over the past year. What my feeling is that you always want to have the connection back to the employees about how they're doing, what's concerning them, what's blocking them from getting their job done, and whether they're actually achieving from a career standpoint what they want to achieve. Now, I think that's important when you have a remote culture. Now, for ours, it's very easy because I can just say our one-on-ones are going to be every other week on the weeks that I'm there. But I think that practice still needs to continue, whether it's going to be on a Slack call or whatever else. The one-on-ones continue to happen, especially for those people who are remote, because for people who are remote, they may feel a little bit disconnected from the rest of the company. You know, they're hearing everybody laughing in the office or whatever else, and they might start to feel like a little lonely. And so you want to make sure to combat that as much as possible, because if they're not fulfilled by being around people, then they're probably not going to stay on for a long time. So one thing we did with Ryan is we've given him a stipend to find a co-working space so he can be around other people and not just feel isolated into his apartment. So making sure that you budget for the necessary things. So when you have somebody remote, you're going to need to fly them back. So you have to budget for that. You're going to need to have a place for them to stay when they're here. You're going to need to give them meals while they're here. You may need to give them co-working space. So for a remote employee, it's important that you are really thinking through all of the costs and budgeting for those costs so that that person is going to continue to be productive when they're no longer with the company directly.
Yeah. And I love that even, you know, despite those costs, someone else might look at that and go, well, it's not worth it, right? That's a lot of additional costs to take on. But you look at the person and what they're doing and the value that they hold for you and your company, and those additional costs are worth it.
Exactly. If they're the right people or the right person, you want to hold on to them as long as you possibly can. And if you don't budget for those things, you might lose people who are the right people. They share the core values of the company. They share the mission of what you're trying to achieve. And you need to make sure that you are spending to keep them that way and to make sure they're productive.
Absolutely. Well, this has been great to really understand more about how you all handle your employees in terms of where they are, where they can be, and how you look at working remotely as a company and as part of your culture. Any final thoughts before we finish up today?
No, just maybe is just to say that I wouldn't be afraid to hire people that can't be in the office every day and really focus on making sure that you find those right people and focusing on what you got. It all starts with what your core values are. And we talked about it in past episodes. It is so crucial to get that done and do it right. So if there is anybody who's just starting out a company, is spending that time with the founders and everybody else to determine what are your core values so you can get the right people into the company, because the right people are going to want to make your company a success.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much, Andy. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Sarah.
We hope that you got some good insight into happiness, what we've got going on to ensure that our team and our clients are happy, and maybe what you would like to do to increase the satisfaction or measure that satisfaction for your own clients and customers. And if you'd like to check out our 2-week free trial with no credit card required and to see what we do to make our potential customers and then customers happy, check us out at thereceptionist.com.